Matthew chapter 13 this morning. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read the first 9 verses of chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and the great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell unto good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God and the opportunity that we have, the health and the opportunity and the blessing to be able to hear the preaching of the word of God. Thank you for your word you've given us. Thank you for the man of God that you've given us here as our pastor to preach thy word to us. Now, Father, help us not take for granted this morning what you've given us. Help us to have ears to hear this morning. Help us to be ready to apply what truths are taught. And God, if there's one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior so they can go to heaven, please, I pray they would get that settled today before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me deliver you the warning concerning your cell phone. It does not need to go off during the service. If it does, and we hear it, an oil well is going to spring up underneath your house. And it's going to take them several months to stop that one. You think about what that means. You'll have hundreds of thousands of gallons of light crude flowing through your house for the next several months. So think about that. So turn it to off or to vibrate. That will help us tremendously. A couple weeks ago, we had a lady phone went off, and the curse I put on it happened to her. So don't do that now. Just stay with us. Turn your cell phone off or to vibrate, and we would appreciate that. I want you to listen very carefully this morning, please. In just a few weeks, Shasta Baptist Church will be 27 years old. The first Sunday in August, my wife and I and 3 of our children at that time, we had our first service in the Grange Hall building over here on Airport Road across from Kent's Market. We started this church. We had no land, no building, no people, no money. And the Lord has just done an amazing work in Shasta Baptist Church. It's not about a man. It's not about a person. It's not about a program. It's about the God of heaven blessing his word. And now for these 27 years, I've been in the ministry 31 years. I always count my time in Bible college as being in the ministry because we served in the ministry while we were in Bible college. Almost 7,000 times now I have stood and preached the Word of God. That's just counting here. That's not counting places in the world where I have preached the Bible. Now, please listen a moment. In over 7,000 times of preaching the Bible, I've often asked myself this question. Why does the Bible have a different effect upon people? Why is it affects some people differently than others? Preach one sermon message like I will do today, and the reaction and effect it will have upon people will be different almost by the number of people who listen. When I was in the South preaching here last week, the young men I was with, a tour group from Golden State Baptist College, and we had an open night while I was traveling with them, and I took them to an old-fashioned Southern camp meeting. How many have ever been to an old-fashioned Southern camp meeting? I'm talking one of them shouting hallelujah, running slobber and fit jobs. I am talking about as wild, in a Baptist church, about as wild as it gets. Oh, yes. They'd never seen anything like that before. Most of these boys are Yankees, and they had no idea. And I said, now you're going to see something tonight you've never seen in your entire life. In a Baptist church. They were throwing their, not the boys, the people in the audience were throwing their ties up on the platform and running laps around the chairs, and it was wild. It got on, as they say, in that meeting. And there was about 100 Navajo there from a reservation. This is in Alabama. They drove from a reservation in Arizona to go to this camp meeting. So these Navajo Indians, and I always use the expression, a wild bunch of Indians, and they were. It was a meeting. So you got a bunch of Indians in a southern camp meeting having a fit. They did it during the singing, during the preaching. Everything except the offering. They were Baptists. They were very calm during the offering. But everything else, it was wild stuff. Now, I personally wouldn't want to see that every week. I got wore out. I was there two nights. I got tired just watching those people. But it's interesting to me. And then you preach in some churches and you can't get a holy grunt out of folks. They're lucky if they stay awake throughout the entire sermon. Why is it different? Why is it bikers and bankers, mission men and businessmen, why is it people who spent time in prison and people who never did much besides spit on the sidewalk in their life, why is it the Bible affects them all differently? Why is it that people in this room this morning will leave today and the effect of the Bible being preached to them will be different than the person who sits next to them? Being a preacher of the Word of God, it's a question I've always puzzled my mind about and thought, why is it different then? Why is it some folks get up, they'll go out this morning. I remember years ago I was preaching a message on the eternal security of the believer, how that once you are saved, you are always saved. It's a great doctrine, by the way, a great principle, truth in the Word of God. A man left who was a visitor that morning, shook my hand going out the door, and he said, "Man, I appreciated that message. I love it when a preacher preaches. If you don't live it, you lose it." And I thought, well, there goes 45 minutes of hard work for nothing. I'd use dozens of scripture to prove that once you're saved, you're always saved. And he was glad to hear that I was preaching, you can lose your salvation. Some things are very discouraging to a preacher. But I thought, what happened? Did I pass out while I was preaching and said something I shouldn't say? No, listen to me. The parable of the sower seed and soil that we just read in Matthew 13 is the answer to the question, why does the Bible affect us differently? Now, in this parable, you will see Jesus use, and he's the master at parables. No doubt there was someone out there sowing seed in a field, and he said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And a man with either a basket or the front part of his working apron, as it were, with a load of seed in it, was walking through a field, scooping up handfuls of seed and throwing it out. A sower went forth to sow. And he said, and I'll notice how some of that seed fell on the wayside soil. That's the worn and beaten down path that was around a plowed and prepared field. He said, you see how the birds came and ate that up? He said, notice how some of that seed had fell over there in ground that was very shallow and had a lot of stones in it. He goes, that'll spring up real quickly, but when the sun comes up, it'll burn all that off and there'll be no root there. Because there's no root, there'll be no fruit. Notice how some of that seed, he said, will fall into soil, and there are already weeds in that soil, thorns and thistle, and it'll choke the seed out and it will not be able to come to fruition. Same sower, same seed, he said, however, notice how when it falls into good ground, it brings forth fruit, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, etc. And then Jesus stops, and that's at verse number 9. He uses the parable. When you get down to verse number 19 there, if you'll notice very carefully, he gives them the application of the parable. He talks about how that the seed is the Word of God. The sower is the one who puts out the Word of God, preaches it, declares it. But he says the difference isn't the sower and the difference is not the seed. He said the difference is the soil. And the soil is the condition of a person, listen now, a condition of a person's heart and mind who receives and hears the Word of God. And I was thinking about that after the camp meeting that night and through the week and then a few other places that I preached. I preached in one place, you couldn't get a grunt out of these folks. This is in the South now. And I cranked it up and let it go and they just kind of sit there and looked at me. I thought, now if I was preaching at that camp meeting right now, I'd need a bodyguard to get off the pulpit. They run a jump on the mourner's bench in front of the pulpit while the preacher is preaching. Jump on the mourner's bench, shaking their Bible and shouting and hollering and carrying on. Those guys in the other church just sit there and looked at me like a bunch of wooden Indians, kind of like some of you folks this morning. They just kind of sit there and looked at me. And I thought, why is it so different Well, it's the South, and it's this church, and it's... See, listen to me now. Some people think that people are different when they come to the Bible because of their background, because of their training, because of where they come from, because of their circumstances, because of this and that. And there's all the truth of the matter is there's one difference. There's one reason that people respond to the Bible differently. One reason why it affects them differently, and it's the condition of their heart and their life when they come to hear the Bible. Now listen, all this soil stuff he's talking about was all done before the seed was sown. That hardened soil was already hard when the seed was sown. That stony soil that was shallow was already that way before the seed was sown. That soil that had the thorns and thistles in it that choked out the Word of God, that was that way before the seed was sown. That soil that was prepared and ready for the Word of God, that was that way before the seed was sown, before the Bible came. It wasn't the Bible that made them different. It was they coming to the Bible that made the effect of it different. Are you listening? Now that's why this morning, ladies and gentlemen, some people, you're going to leave this room as lost as you came. As unsaved as you were before you walked into this room. And you've said and listened to the Word of God or heard the gospel many times, and it still has not affected you yet, and you still have not realized you're lost, you need Christ, you need to get saved, because the gospel's not any different. It's not any different. When you understand you're a sinner and Jesus is the Savior, and I am lost, going to hell when I die, and I must trust Christ as my Savior. When you understand that and you're willing to trust Jesus to save you, you can get saved. There's no difference in the gospel. But the difference can very well will be this morning. Some of you, you're hardened either by religion or whatever. Or there's too much stuff in your life for you to actually receive the fact here, the fact you need Christ. And for some this morning, the soil of your heart and your life is broken up enough where you're willing to receive what God has for you. For some of us this morning, it's not salvation. It's you're a Christian, you're saved, you know Christ as your Savior. But the Bible's just going to bounce off you like BBs off a boxcar. And you'll have your reasons for it, but the truth is, it's the condition of your heart before the seed is sown that'll make the difference. Not the sower and not the seed. It's the soil. Consider with me, and it's the soil before the Word of God is sown. It's the condition of the heart before the Bible is presented, given. Consider those four soils with me this morning very quickly, would you? There's wayside soil the Bible mentions there. Talks about that kind of soil that's around a well-plowed field. The workers have had to trample upon it. No doubt animals have stomped it. It's hardened soil, verse number four. It's soil that's packed, compact, and it's just about as hard as concrete. You throw seed on that and it's going to bounce off just like you throw a handful of seed on the sidewalk out here today. It'll bounce off and have no effect whatsoever. This is the one who comes to the truth of God's Word with the heart that's either hardened by sin or calloused by sin, or it's hardened through bitterness toward God or somebody or something in their life. And listen now, you say, well, Pastor Johnson, it's not my fault I'm that way. Something happened in my life and I became hardened to the things of God. No, you hardened yourself to what life did to you. You let life do that to you and to your heart and your life. So that's not fair. It wasn't my fault what happened to me. No, what they did to you isn't your fault. How you respond to it is your choice. Some of us today, our heart is hardened to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can't even accept the fact that God loves us, Christ died for us, gave us salvation as a free gift. We can't accept that because we have a problem with what God has done or allowed in our lives, and we are hardened to the things of God because of it. But believe me, my friend, this preacher can stand up here and blast away. I could call you by name this morning if I knew the condition of your heart. I could call you by name this morning and say, that man right over there in the fourth row in the fifth seat, Joe Jones, today his problem is a hardened heart. And you would sit there and fold your arms and reject everything that was said to you. That's what's going on today with the truth of the Word of God in people's lives who are so stubborn they will not respond. Say, well, the problem is it's the way we present the Bible. The problem is it's the Word of God itself. The problem is it's the sower that presents. It's interesting to me how a preacher with a different styles or methods or whatever you want to call it, but when he stands up and preaches the Word of God, it's interesting how the Bible still has the same effect even though the sower may be different. The condition of the heart is the issue. When someone flat rejects what the Bible says, friend, it's because their soil is hardened and they allow that to happen in their life. And what happens? Look at verse number 19. Those birds that came and took the seed from this wayside, so Jesus says that's the devil who comes and takes the seed away from them. Well, then it's the devil's fault, Pastor Johnson. No, the soil was hardened. The bird just took his opportunity. Just like they do today and Satan does today. He's looking for an opportunity. He's watching someone listen to the Word of God and it's just bouncing off their heart. And Satan says, I'll be glad to take that. Still not the devil's fault. There are Christians in this room this morning. You've become hardened to the things of God. Doesn't make any difference what stories we tell. Doesn't make any difference how much we do. Doesn't make any difference what we say. Doesn't make any difference if we say it kindly and compassionately. Doesn't make any difference if we just throw it in your face and burn you good with it. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference, my friend. What we say, how we say it. The truth is, if a child of God becomes hardened either through sin or stubbornness or bitterness in their life, the Word of God will just bounce off their hearts and their lives. And it will not have the effect it's supposed to have. Don't think for a moment that people who come to a church like this, where the Bible is preached, and then all of a sudden they say, well, I got this problem, and I got that problem, and I don't want to do this, and I just think the church is this, and it's not that, and it's supposed to be that. Don't think for a moment it's about that. This is not a perfect church. I'm not a perfect pastor, okay? But I preach a perfect book. And the truth of the matter is, when someone just flat rejects what the Bible says, trust me, it's the soil, not the sower, and not the seed. Jesus proved that with this parable. Why do people respond to the Bible differently? Hardened soil. Number two, they respond to the Bible differently because of this other type of soil. In verse number 5, stony ground. It's called shallow soil. There's some good to it, but because of stony things in their lives, the reaction to the Word of God is good at first. But then it says in verse 20 and 21, when the heat, or the sun as it were, when the heat of the troubles that come because the Bible is preached and they receive it, at first they go, you know, I like that when he talks about heaven. But when he talks about hell, I don't like that part. I like that when he preaches the Bible and he talks about how God loves me. But when he starts talking about I have a responsibility to live for God, I don't like that part. They've got shallow soil. There's enough there to catch the seed, and the Bible says they anon with joy received it. So that's why these churches that are just real shallow churches, they just love it. They come in, they get a little entertainment, a little pat on the popo to get up and go out to the champagne and scrambled eggs. They love that. It's shallow Christianity. There's no expectations placed upon them, no requirement. None of that stuff about Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. They don't talk about that. They keep the shallow. That shallow Christianity is very popular stuff today. The problem really isn't, though, the churches and the way they do it, though they feed that mentality. The problem is we've got a lot of shallow Christians today. As long as you give me what I want. As long as you get three lovely ladies to stand up here and sing a nice song for me, as long as the choir sings, as long as there's a hymn or two, as long as there's something for me, as long as the seats are padded, as long as air conditioning works, as long as this, as long as I get what I want, it's a shallow kind of Christianity. But brother, you start laying the axe to the root and start talking about you need to live right, you need to do what the Bible says. Your Christianity is what you are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit with your goods. And you start laying not what I said, what the Bible says. You put that seed in shallow soil, and at first it's okay, but now wait a minute. You mean I have to stop? You mean I need to start? And because it's shallow soil, the light of the Scriptures, the burning sun of the Word of God and its expectations, it doesn't burn the seed, doesn't affect the seed, affects the fruit of it. There's nothing there. And I believe this. I believe of the four soils here, there's only one that bears fruit, which means, I believe, that one out of four who hear the Word of God and profess to be Christians are in fact actually Christians. The other three are just listeners. They're hearers. Not because they don't do what the Bible says, because they have never actually trusted Christ and been saved. Now, friend, look at me. If you've got that kind of mentality where you just never, you know what I mean? You're in, you're out, you're off, you're on, you're hot, you're cold, you do, you don't. You go here, you go there. You kind of just got that surface Christianity stuff. Truth is, you need to find out why there's no root and fruit in your life. And I guarantee you, a vast majority of the time, it's because a person does not have biblical salvation. Not trusted Christ. Got what I want, get what I want, and I'm gone. Excuse me. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, the Bible says. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Not perfect, but not the same anymore either. When the Bible begins to cause these shallow soil Christians a problem, or shallow soil people a problem with the way they live, then they withdraw and the seed dies. Don't set biblical limits. Don't set limits on the Bible. You understand Shasta Baptist Church would be considerably larger than it is if Shasta Baptist Church would just reduce its expectations and not preach everything that's in the Bible. But as we often tell people here, we're going to preach it all of it. If a hair lips every dog in this county, we're preaching everything in the Bible. Those who have the soil can handle it. Number three type soil is this. It's a cluttered soil, if you'll notice in verse number 7. This soil, now look at it, it says this soil, it has already. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. The seed for the thorns was there before the seed of the Word of God. They have a cluttered soil. They've already got stuff in their life that's going to spring up and choke out what the Bible could have done in their lives. Too much stuff, too much baggage, too many things. Say, well, that's not their fault, Pastor Johnson. Oh, yeah, it is. I have to do patrol around my yards every week, just like you do, and it's weed patrol. I don't know why weeds can grow on the crack of the sidewalk where there's nothing in there, and I can't get grass to grow in good soil with fertilizer and watering. I understand that. I understand how weeds will grow out of the crack of the side of a building, and I got grass out there I'm trying to make look like it's not the Sahara Desert. Have to do weed patrol. And you can't just ignore weeds. If you do, they take over, yes? You got neighbors like that who let their weeds get about this high? They don't care. What do? They blow over into your yard, then you have to deal with their weeds. It's got nothing to do with the message. I'm just griping at some of my neighbors this morning. But the truth is, you know as well as do I, my friends, you can't grow anything when you have to share soil. You can't do it. Cluttered things in our lives, but if things get into our lives that choke out the Word of God, where did the seed come from for that? You understand, ladies and gentlemen, cool April nights, hot August nights, cold December nights, all the stuff that goes on in the city of Reading. There's always something going on. I don't care where it is, what you do. I don't care if it's the doodle bug races. It doesn't make any difference. There's always something going on. What is that? And why is it those things take priority over the things a child of God is supposed to do? Because you can't help yourself. They kidnapped you and drug you down to a car show. No, that's not what happened, is it? No. We put the seeds for the weeds that is going to choke out the Word of God. We put those there in our lives. We change our priorities. We decide, well, I'm just going to do this instead of do what I'm supposed to do. You just planted seed. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If I could keep the seed of weeds out of my property, I'd be much more glad to do that than go around and have to pull them stupid things up or invest in Roundup. It's easier to prevent than to deal with causative. What is it that we're doing? Ladies and gentlemen, why is the Bible affect us differently? Why are some of you this morning, you're Sunday morning Christians, that's all you're ever going to be, is a Sunday morning Christian. And I'm glad you're here. If you only come here on a Sunday morning, Pastor Johnson is glad to see you. I don't look at you and go, there's a Sunday morning Christian over there. I'm glad you're here. But I'm not helping you as your pastor this morning if you think somehow or another getting back to church at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night is going to get you into Fox's Book of Martyrs. We've got our ideas. We've got our concept mixed up, turned around, and we've got seed that's going to choke out good seed in our life. It's a cluttered life. Now watch this. Listen. And it's interesting how that once we start using excuses for not doing the things we're supposed to do, it's interesting how those excuses grow. It goes from one thing to another thing. And there are those Christians, they always have a reason why they can't do what they're supposed to do because of something else that has come up. Where'd you get that seed? I'll tell you something, you get a good healthy lawn, it'll get a few weeds in it, but it'll pretty much take care of itself on the weed principle. Not a lot of room for bad stuff when the right stuff is growing. It's cluttered things in our lives. We have things there that, well, I'd try to do more for God in my life, Pastor Johnson, but you know, I just had these things happen to me in my life, and you're the only one that's ever had that. You're just unique in this universe. You're the only one with a past. I'm not being unkind about it. I'm just saying this. Who doesn't have a past? Who doesn't have things from our past that create problems for us in our life? Good people just realize, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. We sow to the spirit, we reap life everlasting. I've just been trying to work on get the harvest turned around, that's all. Put the right things in life, they'll come out. Cluttered life. They have a life already filled and occupied with other things. Let God's word do some roundup in your life, it will. And the last one is this receptive soil in verse number 8. You understand, and here's the fascinating thought. That good soil, that was wayside at one time. That good soil, it was shallow soil at one time. If you do any kind of planting around this area at all, you know there's not a lot of good soil unless you're in the Churn Creek bottom over here. There's not a lot of good soil around here. You want good soil, you got to bring it in. I've got flower boxes I've been working on for the, I don't know, 10 years. We've lived in our place there, and I've developed that soil over all those years by bringing good soil in. I've got some stuff I haven't touched in the 10 years I lived there, and God help me if I ever have to dig a hole in that stuff. But you understand, good soil didn't just happen. Good soil was at one time full of thorns and thistles, and they had to be removed to make good soil. And good soil has been plowed a lot. Now, you've seen plowing before, haven't you? Most of you saw it on television. Some of you have done it a bit in your life. Do you ever notice how that after a while, good soil that sits by itself gets a, it's called fallow ground, it gets a crust on the top of it. It has to be broken up. And they'll take big rippers, I mean with hooks on them that big, and drive those things down in the ground and rip up that soil real good and then come back and plow across that and over that and just keep breaking it up until they bust up the soil and make it what it needs to be. Good soil is not an accident. It's a deliberate effort and participation. Do you know why some people get a hold of this thing about the Bible? Why they get a hold of this thing about the Word of God and God's claims upon my life? Why is it people do get saved? It's always because God has come and broken up the soil of their life. And they let Him do it. And they didn't resent it. And they realized when they heard the gospel, they were sick and tired of the wayside life. A hardened life that couldn't let anything good in their life come in. And a bitterness that consumes them. Or there's kind of people that are just shallow people who just, they're sick and tired of experiential Christianity. Where I get what I want, I feel good about it, and I get up and I go home. They realize that won't work, friend. That will not save a soul. They're those thorny people who've got those thorns in their life. But they realize, who wants to grow thorns? You ever go in a store somewhere and go to the seed rack and the packets where they sell star thistle? I've seen people plant blackberry bushes, and I think, are you out of your cotton picking mind? Or people who down in the Bay Area who buy the rocks that we have to get out of the way up here. And I always think to myself, there's truckloads of the stuff sitting in fields up here, and they're paying big money for lichen rock down there that they put in their gardens. And I always think to myself, what, ladies and gentlemen, do you understand this morning good soil is not an accident? God breaks these things. Those things that happened in your life, that's not God doing something to you. He's doing something with you and in you to break up that soil so you'll be receiving the Word of God like you should. Nothing proves the falsity of false religion like the gospel of Jesus Christ. That salvation is a gift. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we got religions out there trying to teach people you have to get baptized and join a church and live a good life and do the dues. And people out there working hard at it today. And God bless them for it. But it won't take them to heaven. And they'll wind up in hell religious. But even in a religious person's heart, they know what they have is not working, and they know it's not sufficient. And good soil is just simply, but oh, I've been to countries in this world where people were raised generationally in false religions. And you preach the gospel to them, and they receive Christ as their Savior. They are so thankful that they have been set free from the bondage of false religion. Don Siska, man, was a missionary in Japan for many years. One of the very first to really establish a work in Japan. Gave the gospel to an older Japanese gentleman who'd been raised in his religion all his life. And as he told him about Christ and how God loved him, and Christ died to save him, and he must trust Christ to save him, that older Japanese gentleman looked at him and said, "Sensei, can it be so that God would love me? Can it be so?" And he trusted Christ and was saved. The soil was broken up. There was enough there to receive the seed. No more thorns of false religion. No more thorns of excuses and reasons. Good soil is not an accident. People who get a hold of this thing about the Bible in their Christian life, that's not an accident. God has plowed the row of their life many a time, and they responded to it, and now it's a receptive soil. The difference isn't the sower, and the difference is not the seed. The difference is the soil. Question: what type of soil do you have this morning? Let's stand to our feet, please. Would your heads bowed and eyes closed?